Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Did you know Toyota of Brookhaven has sold more new vehicles the last 2 years than any other dealership in Southwest Mississippi? Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
All right, welcome in. We start with some breaking news. Trinidad Chambliss, according to Matt Zenitz, is currently... Here, hold on. Let me pull it up so I can actually read it to you. It's currently trending towards Trinidad Chambliss starting again for number 5 Ole Miss at quarterback, heading into the Rebels game at number 9 Georgia. Sources tell CBS Sports. I feel bad. I was a little sarcastic. I did the... bad teacher, Jason Siegel going, what? No way. Because, I mean, Trinidad was going to start in this game no matter what. But there you go. There's breaking news to start the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here as you always are. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, notification bell, all that good stuff. Should have some extra stuff for you this week as well. So be on the lookout for that. And before we get into tonight's quick topic, I've been thinking about the 2023 game and the concept of history repeating itself. And I'm not exactly talking about the play on the field, because how many players are different just 2 years removed from that game? So it's not so much about that. It's about the mental stuff, the stuff around the game impacting the results on the field. I'll explain here in a second. Excuse me, after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out on Toyota or at toyotabrookhaven.com, I should say, or off of exit 40 in Brookhaven. They will take care of you with a high-level car buying experience. They know that it's a delicate process for a lot of people. Some people just trade and buy in new cars all the time. And that's great. I'm envious. I'm jealous. But the people at Toyota Brookhaven know that most of the time the car buying experience is one that they need to handle with care. They need to treat you like a person. They need to understand that you don't make that decision lightly. They'll do that there. They will also give you $1,000 off on me, any in-stock new Toyota. $1,000 off on me, any in-stock new Toyota. They also have one of the highest rated service departments in the entire state of Mississippi, because Toyota of Brookhaven is not only are they awesome, but they will take care of you. Check them out, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. So as you guys remember, the last time Ole Miss went to Georgia was it was ugly. It was an Ole Miss team that was incredibly banged up going into the game. And ironically enough, that late in the year, that was the healthiest Georgia had been all season. But Ole Miss downed some pieces, really banged up. And physically, they weren't going to win the game anyway, but already a pretty banged up football team. And they got absolutely smoked and ran off the field at Georgia. Now, what does that game have to do with this one? Like I said a second ago, with the players, the ones that are actually on the field, really nothing. I mean, how different are the two teams, good and bad, from 2023 to now? Very different. But there's a concept, there's a thing that happened in the game that Pete Golding actually told you guys about that has stuck with me a little bit. And if you remember, the one and only time Pete Golding is allowed to speak to the media, he went on a long rant about this very thing. I played it for you here on the podcast. We absolutely put it on the radio show as well. Where he talked about they needed to recruit a different type of defensive player with a different type of mentality, because you had guys on that defense. He said it pregame, they're taking pictures and all that stuff. They were not locked in on, okay, this is a business trip. We belong on this field. We got a game to play tonight. They were like, oh my gosh, look at how cool this is. We're playing at Georgia. And the allowance or them allowing that environment to consume them out of focus on, let me rephrase that. Acting like that pregame, in Pete Golding's own words, was an indicator that those guys did not feel like they were supposed to win that game. They were acting and feeling like that game was bigger than themselves. And what Ole Miss has to avoid in this game is allowing that kind of outside stuff to creep in and impact their performance in this game. Maybe in a different way, but when Pete Golding talks about how he had guys on his defense that were like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. Look at how great this is. We're playing at Georgia. Wow, let's take pictures pregame and stuff like that. There's all this other stuff. Look, Ole Miss is now a top five team. You've got playoff conversation again. Ooh, College Game Day's there. And they've got to be able to block all of that out. College Game Day being at this game or not could not possibly matter less, or should not matter less, for the actual players in the locker room. They cannot allow history to repeat itself from that perspective. They cannot allow themselves to get distracted by other things going into this game. They can't allow the environment to get to them in this game, specifically the aforementioned Trinidad Chambliss. He's been really good in three of his four games, and you guys won't believe this. There was a listener of the audience. We were talking about how, like, Trinidad did not play well on Saturday, this past Saturday, and if he plays like that again, they're going to lose. And for some reason, there was a member of our audience that was so upset that we dared say that he didn't play well, that they sent multiple messages into the show saying that I, in particular, need to apologize to Trinidad for saying that he did not play well. It was a weird exchange, but Lane Kiffin and Trinidad both themselves said that he did not play well, which, again, anyway, it was a very bizarre exchange, though. You guys should have seen it. If you listened to the show, yeah, you heard us read it, but in three of the four games, he's been really outstanding. But he has not played on the road yet. This is not his first road start in his life, but this is the first time that he will go on the road at a place that has a real, actual, intimidating, loud, game-impacting environment. And so how is he going to handle that? Is he going to look like the veteran that he did in LSU, Tulane, and Arkansas games, where he looked poised and calm and comfortable, even in the tight spots late in close games? Or is the first time he's played in an environment like that going to impact the way he plays? That is kind of what I've been thinking about this week and early in this week, is can Ole Miss block out all of the stuff? Can they... Last year should help in this regard. Can they believe that they belong on the field in that game, that this is a business trip? It's not, oh, look at how exciting this is. It's, no, you go in, you play good ball, and then you get home. It's a focused attention to detail, blocking out the noise, blocking out whatever this stuff is with College Game Day, and lock in and play good ball. Can Trinidad block out the noise and not allow the atmosphere to overtake him? This is a winnable game for Ole Miss as long as they don't allow all of that kind of stuff to be bothersome for them on Saturday. Of course, there's other factors in this game as well, but that's one that I've been thinking about today, is will history repeat itself with this Ole Miss team and the mentality that they had in 2023 that Pete Golding was talking about? Do they have the right kind of player that they were seeking? They had on defense, they had that last year. Do they have that this year as well, to not allow the big game like this to impact the way mentally they are prepared and the way they play in this game? Only one way to find out. I guess we'll see on Saturday. But we'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at AdvantageBusinessSystemsABSMS.com. If you're a Mississippi business and you're in the market for office technology, anything from cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, if it's technology, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it. Check them out, absms.com. And don't forget to tell them that I sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. There are 16 locations in Mississippi. Their local loan servicing and decision-making. It is the best banking experience here in the state of Mississippi. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. Trinidad starting? No way. I know, shocking, right? I can't believe it. Early feel on the Georgia game, I like Ole Miss to be covering the 7.5-point line. As for winning the game, I don't think so. I mean, Ole Miss is going to have to play really clean football. The dumb penalties that you saw on Saturday cannot happen in this game. I mean, they beat LSU and, you know, they turned the football over. They lost the turnover battle, and they had double-digit penalties in the game. They had over 100 yards of penalties. You can't do that this Saturday and win. They have got to be much cleaner. What is interesting, though, is while Georgia's defense is still supremely talented, they do not pressure and get after the quarterback very much. It's a weird thing about Georgia that you wouldn't think about them. You know they've got players all over, but they have, much like Ole Miss, not been able to turn that into production from the defensive line. So there's an opportunity anyway, I think, for Trinidad to be able to distribute the football more so than what you would expect against a Kirby Smart coach Georgia team. Now, it's a big test for the offensive line. They've got to be really, really good in this game. And Trinidad's got to be a lot more sharp than he was last week, especially on the intermediate stuff. And I think he's going to have to run a lot more. His elusiveness out of the pocket has been a big weapon. I think they've really got to use that in this game. What I'm concerned with for Ole Miss is the other side of the ball defensively, the ability to control the line of scrimmage and stop the run and force the ball into Stockton's hands to try to beat you vertically. And look, if he does that, great. But that's my fear in this game is Georgia being able to stay on schedule offensively. And I don't know how much you guys watched the Auburn game, but I mean, Georgia had, what was it, a 9-minute drive in the fourth quarter. It was a death march is what it was. And I'm afraid that Georgia is going to be able to play keep away from Ole Miss and really have long, sustained drives on schedule, 5 yards per carry type stuff. The Ole Miss front six, defensive line and linebackers, are going to have to play the best game of the year if they're going to win, because I think Georgia is going to kind of test their manhood a little bit. They've got to be ready for it. Hopefully they can find a way to win. It would be, that would change the conversation about what this team is even more than it currently has been changed from preseason expectations. Been a while since Ole Miss has been on the road. Kentucky. Isn't that wild? Week two. Line is too big, but you're afraid the result is correct. You and your old man watching. I appreciate you, Jackson. Appreciate it. Is there a rumor that Lebby's looking for another job? I don't know if we're going to talk about that here, per se. I guess the follow-up to that would be, who's hiring a guy that's 0-10 in the SEC? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That is not something that is in my information base right now. Hope they use a 4-man defensive line and use Perkins to rush the quarterback in this game. Yeah, Lane got asked about Perkins in the press conference. Too many people just box score watch, apparently, because, well, he didn't have a sack, so he must have not played well. He's played well in the role that they have asked him to play. It's just different. I do wish sometimes they would just kind of unleash him a little bit, and they have to some degree, but to me, this game is more about stopping the run than it is getting after Stockton. Both of those things are important. You would love to sack the quarterback and stop the run, but I am more concerned about their ability to stop the run in this game. Georgia, when they're not playing Alabama, has been a mentally sound team, carried them to wins at Tennessee and at Auburn when they trailed by double digits in both. Yeah, they've trailed by double digits in all three of their games. They did in Knoxville as well. And Stockton was great in the second half of that game. But how do you feel the game will go? Think Ole Miss needs to put pressure on Georgia. Lord knows they'll find a way to back into it in the second half. Yeah, I mean, my current feeling is that it's a two-outcome game. Georgia wins close, Ole Miss wins close. I don't think either team is going to be able to blow out the other. I think it's a very winnable game, but I think what will be the difference is I think Georgia's going to be able to death march Ole Miss, like I said. And that, to me, is going to be the difference in the game. The step the program has taken from 2 years ago has been quite noticeable. That's without making the playoff yet, too. We'll see if it holds up on Saturday. No kidding. Usually very logical, and you guessed a realist about these types of games, but you got to say you have a good feeling about this game Saturday. I don't know why, just a gut feeling. Boy, what a story Ole Miss would become if they can do that. Kirby's begging his fans to generate that environment again. They are even doing a stripe out. Theoretically, the Georgia admin is taking this game very seriously. Oh, no doubt they are. I mean, they watched what Ole Miss did to them last year. That woke them up to what could happen on Saturday. Can you quickly give your thoughts on the Auburn situation with their captain asking for a red shirt earlier? Yeah, and then their coach saying that he didn't meet the standards and expectations of Auburn football just for all of his teammates to come to his defense. Anybody that was looking at the Hugh Freeze hire at Auburn objectively would have told you that this was the inevitable result. It was maybe not this fast. I thought that they were going to at least win for a little bit before it flamed out, but there is just something about Auburn's head coach that can't get out of his own way. Whether it's, I mean, just self-inflicted wounds too. Like the golf story this summer. You play 20 rounds of golf in a month, or what was it, 30 rounds of golf? Anyway, you play a disproportionate amount of golf when your recruiting class is falling apart. And the only reason, and I know all kinds of coaches go on vacations and stuff like that, but he was posting it on the GIN, the handicap website. And then after that gets exposed, he keeps posting scores on there. It just little things like that. Like it just, that gets weird. And then he goes on the next round and says, well, I mean, I'm a realist. I know we got to get to a bowl. It's like, that's not what you get hired at Auburn to do is go back to bowl games. And it's just little things like this. I've got three coordinators, one for this down, one for this down. It's just constant. There's always something that shows that there's a lack of true discipline in his programs. And I mean, very clearly this whole idea that he's I've told you guys this before, the idea that he's some quarterback whisperer, that there's no evidence to suggest that that's actually a real thing. And I've shown the work on that. His offenses were good 10 years ago, but they're not now. It was always going to end this way. Always going to end this way. You didn't think the environment was a problem in losses to LSU and Florida until LSU was able to tie it at the end. The 0-3 Georgia game was environment that made the difference. Yeah. Defensive line needs to have the best game yet. They keep getting closer, but hard to find home in these pass rushes. Feel like they're going to need to record some sacks in this game. Yeah, this is another one of those games where the almost stuff won't work for this defense. They have got to create explosive plays. Keep coming back to Auburn. We'll lose to Missouri and Freeze is fired on Sunday. It's over, man. Yeah, John Cohen's quotes were pretty bizarre about that. And Penn State pulling the trigger and firing James Franklin is, I think, going to cause a ripple effect around college football, where other schools that may not have wanted to pay a buyout this year are going to go ahead and do it. Like take Kentucky, for example. It's been reported multiple times that they don't want to pay a buyout. But now look around at how many jobs are coming open. You already have Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Penn State. All of those already open. Florida's about to come open. Wisconsin looks like it very well could come open here soon. South Carolina could come open. Auburn could come open, and so on and so forth. And if you're Kentucky and you're sitting there and you stink again, and I know you don't want to pay a buyout, but it's very abundantly clear that John Summerall wants your job. You really going to go through that cycle and let John Summerall go get hired by Arkansas? Or let him get hired by SMU if Rhett Lashley takes the Arkansas job or something like that? No, I mean, I have a feeling that this is going to cause some panicking in college football, and Auburn's a great candidate to panic because they tend to do that. It's a weird concept that we all accept that Trinidad didn't play well Saturday with a 69% completion rate and over 200 yards passing and multiple good runs. It's true. I mean, he set a really high standard. That is a pretty pathetic Washington State defense, though. I mean, they gave up 59 points twice this season. And I mean, you saw it. The intermediate to deep passes were really uncharacteristically bad. It's okay. He had a bad day. Fun fact, this is the first time that there will be 8 conference games played in the history of the Southeastern Conference. Pretty cool. If you pay attention to the locker room, no one thought they played well. No coach, no player, and even no in-tune fan will say they played well last week. I really liked a lot of the quotes that came out of post-game. And then there was a media op today with players. I don't think there was one quote other than the taking shots at fans. I don't like that, but whatever. That I didn't like. It was a lot of acknowledgement, accountability, no excuse making. I really liked everything that I heard. So, you think Trinidad will bounce back and silence any doubts? I am very excited to see how he handles an environment like the one that they're walking into. Fowler and Herbstreit calling their first Ole Miss game since Georgia 2023. Ooh. Told me Oklahoma isn't real. I'm not totally out on them yet. Can they play Franklin, Echols, Brown, and Harris on the D-line? Do they have the depth at interior or on the interior? Yeah, I mean, they can, in theory, play those lineups, yeah. I don't think you're going to see that all that often, but Stanford Stadium is one of the louder venues I've been to in the SEC, and they're just a really good team, too. Will be very loud this week after the win last season. They're high on alert and ready, yeah. It's big. It's loud. The team that plays there is really good. It's imperative that they build a lead on Georgia, possibly a 10-14 point lead at the half or third quarter may be necessary to win. This has got to be one of those games where the first quarter script is exceptional. Can't do what they did in the first quarter last week. If you line up for a field goal, the field goal's got to go through the uprights. You know, if you get in a goal-to-go situation, it's got to be 6. It can't be 3. And score in the second half, yes. They sit back and play coverage a lot. Trey Wallace they've got to involve him this week. Are you crazy thinking they can win? You're not crazy at all. Wow, what a stat. Ole Miss has only scored first in 3 of their 6 games. That runs counter to what you're used to under Lane Kiffin, too. Dad and your brother get together and make wagers on college football every weekend. They've been so bad at picks this year, I'm begging them to pick Georgia Moneyline. it's funny. They can run right at Ole Miss, which is a concern. This is why you think they're much more of a problem than Oklahoma. Yeah. What SEC coaching vacancy will exist in the offseason that we're currently not talking about? South Carolina. South Carolina is the one that we're currently not talking about, that they could kind of panic fire. I mean, my gosh, man, they already have 3 losses, and they've just started their brutal stretch. So, and it hasn't been particularly great there anyway, but they lost to Vanderbilt. No, I'm sorry, they have 2 losses. No, they have 3, Vanderbilt, Missouri, and LSU. They still have Oklahoma, Alabama, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M, and Clemson to go. Yes, absolutely, that's the one. Loser of South Carolina, Oklahoma is going to be in a really bad spot, especially South Carolina. Yeah. You heard on the SEC podcast that Lebby is looking. I'm not doubting anybody. I'm not like refuting that. Who's hiring a guy that's 0-10 in the SEC right now? Where's he going to go? I mean, maybe be an OC somewhere, but I'm honestly, who's hiring that? And he's got a $4.5 million a year job currently. So, I mean, he's 0-10 in conference play, and the team's going to hire him to be their head coach? I don't know about that. Have to keep the run in check. They cooked Bama in the second half running the ball, and Auburn. How was basketball media day? The team is already, they sound like their head coach. There's not much you can take away, especially from basketball media day, but that team talks like their head coach. It's very interesting. Chris Beard seems to be very confident in that team, and that team appears to be very confident in their head coach. It's almost robotic with them in a good way. Georgia runs the same defense as Washington State. Going to be a long night. I don't necessarily think that's how it works. Missouri -1.5, best bet of the week. I love that one. Is James Franklin the coach of an SEC program in 3 months? If so, which one would you bet on? If so, Florida. If so, it's Florida. Shout out to the Big 12 for roasting Brent Venables today. Yeah, he kind of stepped out of... stepped into that one a little bit. Thoughts on LSU Vanderbilt, and what if LSU loses? If LSU loses, you could be looking at a scenario in which that is another program that panic fires a head coach at the end of the year. I mean, you guys have heard me say it before. Brian Kelly, to me, is supremely overrated. He always has been. His teams are fine, but he's had two elite jobs and has not provided elite results. And if you're losing, if you have two losses by October 18th and you still have to play A&M at Alabama and at Oklahoma, so again, you'd miss the playoff in year four at LSU? Think both teams match up well, almost sort of a wash. Going to be a schematic coaching battle. Yes, it is. But a line of scrimmage battle, too. Was at the 23 game in Athens. Even all the fans considered it a, quote, free shot, but had no concept there was even a chance to win. For some reason, I see a very similar approach this year. I don't like it. I can tell you the team's not approaching it that way. Freeze wouldn't have lasted at Ole Miss. He would not have. Absolutely would not have. He should have been forced to coach the 2017 team. Many people have said that, and I agree with them completely. He should have been forced to coach that team because he wouldn't be thought of the way he was when Auburn hired him if he had to coach that team. They would have sucked. Portal's going to be wild this season. Yeah, because there's only one window. Only job you think cannot come open is Florida State. That buyout is much higher than even James Franklin. Let's see. Mike Norvell buyout. It's amazing how that immediately comes up on Google. $53 million. I mean, just stop for a second and think about that. $53 million to not work anymore. But hey, run those commercials saying that we need to pass the SCORE Act to protect the women's sports from how awful everything has gotten and there's no money, and spare me. Probably have no idea of this, but would you be surprised if Florida beat State and they still fire Napier? I would not be surprised if he beat State and they still fire him. However, I do think that they would wait until after Georgia to just kind of... Scott Strickland does not want to fire Billy Napier. He's going to have to, but he doesn't want to. Summerall feels like a guy who might sit tight and wait for a bigger job than Kentucky or Arkansas. Well, Kentucky's a different deal with him. Ole Miss needs to get Wallace and Alexander back involved against Georgia. Zero catches on Saturday for Trey. Yeah, at least Stribling got some, but yes, the two of them need to have more involvement on Saturday. And I do think you're going to see a different offensive approach in the game as well. Yeah. Run game will have to open up the passing game. Yeah, and I think Trinidad's going to have to be a major part of that as well. Do you think last Saturday will end up being a good thing because it shows them what can happen if you don't play to the standard? It's only a good thing if they play well Saturday, right? If they don't, if they get beat badly again, what happened last Saturday was a sign. Had a great script to start the 2023 game, led 7-0, then tied 14-14 mid-second quarter, then the wheels fell off. Like you said earlier, I like the coaching matchup. I mean, I really like the Pete Golding v. Mike Bobo matchup. Georgia is one of the best red zone touchdown defenses in the country, and Ole Miss has not been good in the red zone. I think that is the stat that has to flip this week, yeah. Is there a world where 10-2 Ole Miss team gets left out? There's a world where they do. It's not a likely one. But there is a world. Yes, there is a world. Beamer will go to Virginia Tech if they want him. I wouldn't want him if I were them. Georgia has not been good at all. They've been lucky with the refs. I mean, they were the wrong end of a controversial call away from being down 17-0 last week. And I don't think they're overcoming that. They're a missed field goal away from losing in Knoxville. I mean, it's a beatable Georgia team, but they are very, very, very talented. And they can just kind of squeeze you to death like an anaconda, you know? I think they have to defend home field and win in Starkville. Losing to a 5-win State team could be devastating to the playoff hopes. Yeah. Florida fans would have a fit if they fire Frank, or if they hire Franklin, from what I've seen from their fans. Well, they might need to kind of lessen their expectations a little bit. Everybody thinks that they've got the best job in the world, but I love the concept of, well, it's just easier to win at Florida. Well, if it's so easy there to win there, why don't your coaches win there? Oh, well, I hired the wrong guy, but you told me it was so easy. A lot of people wanted Billy Napier. You couldn't win there. Dan Mullen couldn't win there. Well, why is nobody able to win there if it's such an easy place to win? If Penn State fired James Franklin to hire Matt Rhule, that would be pretty hilarious and possibly a downgrade. I don't know if it's true or not, but it does sound like they might be kicking the tires on or trying to gauge interest from a coach or two in the Southeastern Conference. If Clark Lee leaves, Vandy would hire Franklin again. I don't know if Clark Lee would leave, but that would be a very smart move on Vanderbilt's part, to be honest with you. The issue with Mark Stoops is Kentucky owes him the most buyout within 30 days or something. It's brutal. It's a horrible contract. Jimbo did get fired. Yes, after a win. Yeah, after beating Mississippi State. Kelly's is $53 million. Yeah, I think at the end of the season, right? Seems ridiculous now, but I do agree that Ole Miss should root for Southern Cal to beat Notre Dame. You need Notre Dame out of there. They already have two losses. You need them to get the third. That just helps. Matt Rhule jumps to jobs like people say Lane Kiffin does. No kidding. Yeah, Dan Mullen would make sense at Penn State. That job and that search has already gotten so stupid, guys. It has gotten so stupid. I mean, Heather Dennis on ESPN floated Ryan Day yesterday, and today they're talking about Marcus Freeman. It's like, come on. Come on, guys. Ryan Day just won a national championship, and he's got, by every objective measure, a better job. What are we even talking about here? Come on. It's nonsense is what it is. But anyway, I appreciate you guys. I know it's a little bit of a shorter one, but I got to run. You'll be getting some extra stuff this week, so be on the lookout for that. And we'll be back live on Thursday, of course. But big week, big games, and looking forward to talking with you guys about it this week. So I'll see you on the next one. Keep the notifications on because you will get extra. And I'll see you on the next one.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.